إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah The creed of Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah. Then last week we had points number 139 to point 142. So he had the point with regard to those who make a distinction between ahadith, narrations which are mutawatir, and narrations which are ahad. What was the point that Shaykh al-Fawzan made in that regard? That with regard to aqidah, what distinction do we make between narrations which are mutawatir and narrations which are ahad? What distinction do we make with regard to belief? That we make no distinction between a hadith which people classify as mutawatir, or narrations, which we classify as ahad, that we believe in all of them, with one condition. The one condition which is? That the hadith is sahih. The hadith fulfills the conditions for being authentic, for being sahih, authentic from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as it fulfills that condition, then we accept it in action and in belief in our belief and our action. As soon as it's authentic from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, established as that, then we accept it in both. We also had a point with regard to the variation of iman. One point we had was that as for belief of the heart, tasdiq, the heart attesting to the truth, then as for that, is that one and the same for all the believers, or does it vary? Tasdiq in the heart, belief of the heart, is that the same? A person, a Muslim, when he has belief of the heart in Allah, then that doesn't vary. Is that true or is that not true? Yeah. For example, no. Then, contrary to the saying of those who are wrong, then the people of the Sunnah say that even in the basis of belief in the heart, attestation of the heart to the truth, then the people even vary in that. An example, as the brother mentioned, is as for the tasdiq, the belief of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as compared to others from the Ummah, or as compared to the wicked believers, then even the tasdiq, the belief in the heart, the attestation of the heart to the truth, it varies. Then also, what about with regard to action? Do people vary in actions or not? Of course, no doubt, people vary in actions. So in those two ways, in both of those two ways, iman varies. Iman varies in its basis in the heart, that varies from person to person. And obviously person to person, their actions will vary as well. So because of those two, iman varies. We also had that Shaykh al-Fawzan brought in the explanation, some ayahs from Surah Fatir, where the people were divided into three categories. Another example that people are not one and the same in their iman. That even those who have iman, the believers, that they vary in their iman. What were these three categories of people mentioned in the ayahs? Yeah. As your brother mentioned, then there were those who were foremost in doing the good deeds, those who were foremost, سابقون بالخيرات, foremost in doing good. They are those who perform the obligatory duties and the recommended duties. And they keep away from the forbidden duties, and they keep away from what is disliked as well. And they even keep away from some things which are permissible for fear of falling into that which is forbidden. So that is the first class of the believers, those foremost in doing good. And then the second category, the muqtasid, the ones who are upon a middle course in good, those who do what is obligatory, keep away from what is forbidden. And they don't do that which is necessarily recommended. They don't go into that which is recommended, doing it, or keeping away necessarily from that which is disliked. But they do what's obligatory, and they keep away from what is forbidden. And then the third category, those who are believers, but they fall into committing sin. Who can remember, what was the definition of a wali of Allah? Of a beloved servant of Allah, a wali of Allah. What is the definition for that? What is the conditions for that? Is that thinking or answering? Sorry. Hey. A second. Yeah. Joint effort. Yeah. The two conditions, as we mentioned in the ayah from Surah Yunus, ayah 62 and 63, that those who have iman and taqwa, that one who has iman and he has taqwa, he has true faith, and he is dutiful to Allah, keeps away from what Allah has forbidden, then he is a wali of Allah. And when someone is a wali of Allah, do the people vary in that, or is that something fixed? Somebody is a wali of Allah, a beloved servant of Allah. Have they reached one level, and that's it? They're all the same, of the same level, or is it something which varies? Yeah. No doubt, it's something which varies. It varies in accordance with how obedient that person is to Allah. Then, with regard to the continuation. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. We're beginning with point number 143, where Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi rahimahullah says, "Wal imanu huwa al imanu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rasulihi wal yawm al akhir wal qadari khayrihi wa sharrihi wa hulwihi wa murrihi min Allah ta'ala." He said, and iman, true faith, and iman, true faith, is to have iman, to truly believe in Allah, and in his angels, and in his books, and in his messengers, and in the last day, and in pre-decree, al-qadr, the good of it and the bad of it, that which is sweet from it and that which is bitter. That all that is from Allah the Most High. Here, Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, says in his explanation, the definition of iman is what has already preceded, that it is qawlun bil lisan wa tasdiqun bil qalb wa amalun bil jawarih yazidu bit ta'ah wa yanqusu bil isyan. He said the definition of iman is what has preceded, which is that it is speech of the tongue and belief in the heart, and action upon the limbs. It increases through obedience. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. and decreases through disobedience. And they mention a footnote here, which we will mention because whoever's got the book, they'll see the footnote there. They say, with regard to this definition of Iman, Al-Bukhari brings in the book of Iman, I mean in his Sahih, in the book of Iman, chapter, the increase of Iman and its decrease, that he said, and the saying of Allah the Most High, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا وَقَالَ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. So Al-Bukhari, in this chapter heading, he brings three ayahs as a proof for this chapter, as a proof that Iman increases and decreases. The first ayah, or part of an ayah, from Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, ayah 13. The second from Surah Al-Muddathir, the 74th surah, ayah 31. And the third from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th surah, ayah 3. With the explanation of each one, and we increased them in guidance. And the second ayah with the explanation, and so that those who had Iman should increase in Iman. And the third, the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah with the explanation, this day have I completed for you your religion. Al-Bukhari commented, so if anything is left from that which is complete, then it will be deficient. In other words, Al-Bukhari is indicating that when the ayah came down, this religion was completed with all the duties. So anyone who leaves any of the duties of the religion, then his religion will have deficiency in it. An evidence that Iman decreases. Then to continue with the explanation of Sheikh Al-Fawzan, so he's just given the definition of Iman, that it's speech of the tongue, belief of the heart, action of the limbs. It increases with obedience and decreases through disobedience. Then he said, as for what the author mentioned here, then this is the pillars of it. These are the pillars of Iman, meaning belief in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day and pre-decree. These are its pillars. The definition is what he just mentioned before, what came before, and what's mentioned here by the author are the pillars of Iman. As were explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Jibreel asked him and said, قال أخبرني عن الإيمان. When Jibreel came and said, inform me about Iman. قال الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded that Iman is that you truly believe in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers and in the last day, and that you truly believe in pre-decree, it's good and it's bad. In a footnote they mention, reported by Al-Bukhari, obviously the famous hadith of Jibreel, reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 50, and reported by Muslim. So now we've just had the definition of what Iman is, and then what are the pillars of Iman, the six pillars of Iman. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and it has many khisal, it has many constituents, as occurs in his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah, aw bid'un wa sittuna shu'bah, a'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah, wa adnaha imatatul adha ani tariq. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iman has 70 and odd, or 60 and odd branches. The highest of them is the saying that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And the lowest of them is removing that which is harmful from the path. The hadith. in a footnote they mention, reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 9 and by Muslim, and this wording is his, and it's from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the famous hadith of the branches of Iman, this being a part of it. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, however, these six, I mean the Iman has 60 or 70 odd branches, but as for these six which are mentioned here, I mentioned the hadith of Jibreel, he said, however, these six, they are the arkan, they are its pillars and its supports which it rests upon. Then he said, and speech concerning Iman in Allah, speech concerning true belief in Allah and in His angels, Iman in His angels, and Iman in His messengers, in the messengers, and Iman in the books, all of that has preceded in separate places at the beginning of this creed. In other words, there's no need to repeat that. It's already preceded earlier on in this creed, the details of Iman in each of these. And as for a small footnote which Sheikh Al-Albani made here, Sheikh Al-Albani made a note, rahimahullah, on the point with regard to belief in Qadr, pre-decree, where Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ وَحُلْوِهِ وَمُرِّهِ مِنْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the Iman is to have Iman, to truly believe in pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it, that which is sweet from it and that which is bitter from it, that all of that is from Allah the Most High. Shaykh al-Albani said, rahimahullah, no, you should know that this does not contradict his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the dua ul-istiftah, the supplication for the beginning of the prayer, وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ بِيَدَيْكِ وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكِ, reported by Muslim. So in this particular hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, reporting that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would begin his prayer, that sometimes he would begin his prayer with this beginning supplication, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا. And the hadith continues. And at the end of it, or towards the end of it rather, is this phrase, وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ بِيَدَيْكِ وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكِ, that and all good is in your two hands and evil is not ascribed to you, reported by Muslim. So Shaykh Albani is making it clear that this phrase, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, evil is not ascribed to you, the evil is not ascribed to Allah, this does not contradict what occurs here, that pre-decree, to have Iman in pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it. And then he explains why. He says, because the meaning of this phrase here, and evil is not ascribed to you, he said, the meaning is, for you do not create anything which is purely evil. Rather, everything which you create contains some hikmah, some wisdom. And in that aspect, it is good. Whatever Allah creates, it will never be something which is just pure and evil. It will always be something containing hikmah, something containing wisdom. So in that aspect, it is good. However, it can contain some evil for certain people. So this evil is a partial, is partial, and is secondary. And as for total evil or unrestricted evil, then the Lord, the Perfect, is declared free of that. We don't say about Allah, He creates something which is purely evil. We don't say that. Or totally evil. He's created something that is totally evil. We don't say that. We don't ascribe that to Allah. Shaykh al-Bani said, this is mentioned in the explanation, meaning by Ibn Abdul Izz in his explanation. And for details of that, if you wish, refer to Shifa'ul Alil of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala. So from this you will know the falsehood of what is ascribed to me with regard to I'm accused of saying that evil has a creator besides Allah the Most High. He mentioned in an article unfortunately written in the magazine Al-Hadara, and he mentions when. In other words, Sheikh Albani doesn't say that. So the point that Sheikh Albani made here is that we don't say that Allah creates something purely evil. We don't ascribe pure evil to Allah. We say that He creates things, and even things like Iblis, which is Iblis, someone evil, or unbelief, and so on. But whenever Allah creates something, there is wisdom in it, there is hikmah in it. So from that aspect, it is something good. So that's how we understand the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. Evil is not ascribed to you, along with our belief in pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it. And as for the next point, point number 144, then At-Tahawi rahimahullah says, وَنَحْنُ مُؤْمِنُونَ بِذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ. We are believers in all of that. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, it is obligatory to have iman in all of that. I mean, all the things mentioned in the previous point. In Allah, iman in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and pre-decree. It is obligatory to have iman in all of that. So if someone denies anything from these pillars, then he is not a mu'min. He is not a believer. Because he has dropped a pillar from the pillars of iman. In other words, those six pillars, if someone says, I believe in five but not in one, he is not a mu'min at all. He is not a believer at all. Then with regard to the next point that carries on, point number 145, that At-Tahawi rahimahullah says, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُّسُلِهِ وَنُصَدِّقُهُمْ كُلَّهُمْ عَلَى مَا جَاءُوا بِهِ. We do not differentiate between any of His messengers, and we believe all of them regarding that which they came with. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this has preceded, that it is obligatory to have iman, to truly believe in all of the messengers, from the first of them to the last of them, those whom Allah has named in the Quran and those He did not name. So we have iman in all of the rusul, all of the messengers, those whom Allah sent as messengers to His servants. So whoever believes in some of them and disbelieves in others, then he is a kafir. He is an unbeliever in all of them. I mean, someone who claims that he believes in some of the messengers, but he doesn't believe in some of the others, then the reality is that he is a disbeliever in all of them. If he rejects a single Nabi, a single prophet, then he will be a kafir, an unbeliever, in all of the prophets. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions an evidence, the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّةً. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayahs 150 and 151. With the explanation, those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers and who want to make a separation between Allah and His messengers, and they say, We believe in some of them and we disbelieve in some. And they want to take a way in between that. They are the unbelievers in truth. They are the truth. They are the true unbelievers. They are the unbelievers in truth. Sheikh al-Fawzan continued then. So the Jews are unbelievers. The Jews are kuffar. The Jews are unbelievers. Because they disbelieved in two noble prophets. They disbelieved in Isa, alayhi salatu wassalam, and they disbelieved in Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Christians are kuffar, the Christians are unbelievers, because they denied the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he said, so those who say today that the Jews and the Christians are Muslims and believers, and that they are people of religions, and who loves to draw the religions closer, at taqarub bayn al-adyan, and loves interfaith dialogue, this person is mixing up, or rather said, this is mixing up and is misguidance, and Allah's refuge is sought. It is mixing up between the truth and falsehood, and between iman and kufr, between true faith and unbelief. Since after the sending of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no correct religion except for Islam. And he mentions the ayah, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 85, with the explanation, and whoever desires a religion other than Islam, then it will never be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he will be from the losers. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so Islam abrogated everything which came before it, and it commanded mankind and jinn, and the Jews and the Christians, and the unlettered ones, and all of the Arabs, and the non-Arabs. They were all commanded to follow the chosen Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is no iman, there is no faith, except through following this messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan, or rather then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, moves on to what we'll take as being the last point. Point number 146. Something different, he said. وَأَهْلُ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي النَّارِ لَا يُخَلَّدُونَ إِذَا مَاتُوا وَهُمْ مُوَحِّدُونَ. At-Tahawi, rahmahullah, said, and those guilty of major sins, of kabair, and those guilty of major sins, from the ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, will not remain forever in the fire if they die as people upon Tawheed. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said, al-kabair, first he begins by giving a definition to al-kabair. Al-kabair, the major sins. هي الذنوب التي دون الشرك وفوق الصغائر. He said, the major sins, al-kabair, they are the sins which are less than shirk, but greater than the saghair, greater than the lesser sins. And the definition of a kabira, the definition of a major sin, is kullu dhanbin ruttiba alayhi haddun aw khutima bi ghadabin aw la'natin aw nar aw tabarru' ar-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min fa'ilihi fa inna hadha kabira. He gives the definition of what is a major sin. He said, it is every sin for which a prescribed punishment is attached, a had, or it has mentioned along with it anger, meet Allah's anger, or la'ana, or curse, or fire, or with the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declaring himself free from the one who does it, then this is a major sin. In other words, just to repeat the definition, every sin for which a prescribed punishment is attached, or which has mentioned along with it, I mean for the one who does it, anger, or curse, or fire, or with the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam declaring himself free from the one who does it, then this is a major sin. Then he gives some examples. He says, such as his saying, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." Whoever deceives us is not from us. I mentioned the footnote reported by Muslim, and it's from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Whoever deceives us is not from us. So it shows that deception, deceiving the Muslims, cheating the Muslims, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has freed himself from people who do that. He shows it's a major sin. And then he gives a second hadith, "Man hamala alayna silaha falaysa minna." Whoever bears weapons against us, then he is not from us. In a footnote they mention, reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 6874, and by Muslim, and it's from a hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. Again, showing that that is again a major sin, bearing weapons against the Muslims. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, all of these wordings, all that's just preceded, this prescribed punishment mentioned for that sin, or it's mentioned that Allah's anger is one upon one who does it, or his curse, or he'll be punished in the fire, or the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, freeing himself from one. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, all of these wordings indicate that the sin is a kabira, is a major sin. But it is less than shirk. It's still less than shirk. So the person who commits it does not exit from iman. He does not go outside iman. Rather, he will be mu'minan naqis al iman. He will be a believer who is deficient in his iman. Or he can be called fasiq. He can be called a sinner. This is the position of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They do not declare people to be unbelievers because of major sins, which are less than shirk. He said, however, they do not give this person, yarhamkallah, however, they do not give this person the title of al-Iman al-Mutlaq. The person who is guilty of major sin, they do not give him the title of unrestricted iman. I mean, they don't say he's a believer, he's an absolute believer. They don't say that. Rather, they give him imanan muqayyadan. They give him limited or restricted iman. And say, mu'minun bi imanihi, fasiqun bi kabiratihi. They say about him, he is a believer in accordance with his iman, is a believer in accordance with his level of iman, a sinner in accordance with his major sin. That's what they say. So it is not to be said, he is a believer complete in iman. That's the meaning of the phrase before where he said, we don't give him unrestricted iman. A person of major sin, we don't say he is a believer complete in iman. We don't say that. As is said by the Murji'ah, That's what the Murji'a say. And it is not to be said that he is outside the fold of Islam, as is said by the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan arranges the statement in a different way, and explains it in a different way, and says, so therefore, the people, with regard to a person who commits major sin, which is lesser than shirk, are of three groups. And then he mentions the three groups. First he gives the two deviant groups, and then the people upon the truth. He mentions the first. Are the three groups with regard to the person who commits major sin from this ummah. The first, he said, are the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. They put him outside Islam. However, the Khawarij, they enter him into unbelief, whereas the Mu'tazila do not enter him into it. Rather, they say he is in a station between the two stations. That's what the Mu'tazila say about a person who commits major sin from this ummah. They say he's left Iman, but he's not entered into kufr. He's in between, he's outside Iman, and he's outside kufr. He's in a station in between the two. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, however, they declare him to be outside Islam. So that's the first group with regard to the person who commits major sin. And he mentions the second group, the Murji'a, those who say he is a believer complete in Iman, mu'minun kamilul Iman, as long as he believes in his heart. As long as he has belief and Iman in his heart with their majority. And says it upon the tongue in the view of some of them. There's a difference, as we had before, there's a difference amongst the Murji'a. So the majority of the Murji'a say, as long as a Muslim, as long as he has Iman in his heart, then it doesn't matter. If he commits major sins after that, then he'll still be a believer, perfect and complete in Iman. And some of them, a group of them, they say, no, as long as he has Iman in his heart and he expresses it upon his tongue, then even if he commits major sins, he'll be a believer perfect in Iman. Then, as the Shaykh continues with what they say, then he is a believer complete in Iman. And these sins do not reduce his Iman, even if they are major sins. That's what they say. That's what the Murji'a say. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this is also misguidance. In the first saying, that of the Khawarij and Mu'tazila is misguidance, and so is this saying. Then he mentions the third and the correct saying. And as for the true saying, then it is the madhab of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is the position of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, that the person who commits a major sin, which is less than shirk, is a believer. He is not a kafir. He is not an unbeliever. But he is deficient in Iman. So this must be known. And this must be planted firmly in your intellect. So the people of evil, their evil has increased in this time. And they have begun manifesting the position of irja. Some people have started spreading in the society the views and the position of irja, of the murji'a. And then he mentions why they do this. He said, to cause it to become acceptable to the people, and in order to hide the deviation which they themselves are upon. That's what the Shaykh mentioned some people do these days. They make the position of the Murji'a wide, so they try and propagate it amongst the people. And say, the people, as long as the people have got Iman in their hearts, then leave them alone. Whatever they do, leave them alone. To hide the deviation which they themselves are upon. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so having knowledge and awareness of this, is one of the most binding obligations upon the student of knowledge today. Then finally, with regard to a small point which Sheikh Al-Albani made, rahimahullah, he mentions that in the point that At-Tahawi brings here, rahimahullah, wa ahlul kaba'ir, and the people who commit major sins, min ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He said this phrase here, from the nation of Muhammad, from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this phrase, he says, does not occur in the three manuscript versions, nor in a printed version, and omitting it is better. It's better that this phrase is left out, so that it reads, "Wa ahlul kabairi fi nari la yukhalladun, idha matu wa hum muwahhidun." And those who commit major sins will not remain forever in the fire if they die as people upon Tawheed. He said it's better if it's not restricted to just from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Shaykh Albani said, since what is understood from this addition is that those who committed major sins from the previous nations other than the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the abrogation of their laws, that their ruling is something different to those who commit major sins from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is something doubtful, since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed that يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِّنْ إِيمَانٍ. Since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed that there will come out from the fire anyone who has the slightest atom's weight of iman in his heart. Shaykh Al-Bani said, and he did not particularize it to his own ummah. Rather, he mentioned iman and left it unrestricted. So consider carefully. So that's one point that Shaykh Al-Bani mentions, that's an addition here which is not in certain of the manuscripts, and it's better that it's left out, and the ruling is left general, that anyone who commits major sin from this ummah, from the previous ummahs, that their ruling is the same. Then he makes another point, and know that the people differ with regard to a definition of the major sins, having different sayings, and the best of these sayings is, and then he gives a definition of a major sin again. He said, ما يترتب عليه حد أو تؤيد عليها بالنار أو اللعنة أو الغضب. He mentioned something very sad, more or less the same as what Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned. He said that a major sin, the best saying about what a major sin is, that which carries a prescribed punishment, a had, or has a threat of hellfire upon it, or of curse, being Allah's curse, or al-ghadab, or of Allah's anger. He said, and you can refer back to the explanation, meaning of Ibn Abil Izz, and Majmu' al-Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, volume 11, page 650. And just as a final side point on the side point, then what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions at that place, or the part of what he mentions is, in volume 11, he said, the best of the sayings with regard to this matter, meaning what is a major sin, is the saying which is related from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and mentioned by Abu Ubaid and Ahmad ibn Hanbal and others, and it is that a lesser sin, a saghira, is whatever is lesser than the two punishments, punishment in this world or punishment of the hereafter. In other words, a lesser sin is what falls beneath that. I mean, and a major sin is that which there is a punishment in this world or a punishment in the hereafter for it. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that's the best saying of what a major sin is. Wallahu a'lam. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. That any points of clarification? A correction from the brother. I misread a word here. When Sheikh al-Fawzan was mentioning about those people, he mentioned about the unbelief of the Jews because they disbelieved in two prophets, the unbelief of the Christians because they disbelieved in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentioned, so therefore, those who today say that the Jews and the Christians are Muslims and believers and people of religion. And then he continues with their saying, it should be not وَيُحِبُّ, and there's a dot, it should be وَيَجِبُ. So the correct translation of that would be, and who says that it is obligatory to draw the religions closer together. وَيَجِبُ التَّقَارُبُ بَيْنَ الْأَدْيَانِ. So those who say that the Jews and Christians are Muslims and believers and people of religion, and that it is obligatory to draw the religions closer. And then the rest, the same as I said. And to have interfaith dialogue. I mean, it's obligatory to have interfaith dialogue. Then the Sheikh said, this is mixing up and misguidance. And Allah's refuges sought. JazakAllah khair. So if whoever's writing down my translation, put a correction of that, inshallah. Not he who loves drawing the religions closer, rather whoever holds that it is obligatory to draw the religions closer together. Any more corrections or clarifications or points? Oh. We get forgetful in our old age. Homework. Homework was forgotten. Well, it was forgotten by me. Was it forgotten by everybody else? Right then. He's got the off the internet. That's cheating. Anybody who's not connected to the internet right now, has anybody like that done the homework? The homework was the very famous saying that the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu an outweighs the iman of the rest of the people. We were supposed to track down that saying. Obviously, it's a very, very common saying. You could easily fall into telling somebody that, and then if they turn around and say, okay, where's the evidence for that? Where is this saying? Then what will you say? I did find out it wasn't actually very easy. I'll admit that. It wasn't a common source, and it wasn't very easy. Inshallah. It's authentic, inshallah. No offers? Right then. Got a bit of paper somewhere, but without the bit of paper, then you can find, in regard to English references, then you'll find it in the book Aqidah Ashab al-Hadith of As-Sabuni, the Creed of People of Hadith by As-Sabuni. It's mentioned in that book of Aqidah, that book of Creed. It's mentioned in there. With regard to the source references, then it's quoted by Al-Bayhaqi in his book Shu'ab al-Iman. Shu'ab al-Iman. Also by Imam Ahmad in his book on the virtues of the companions, Fada'il al-Sahaba. Likewise, whoever has the Arabic book on the biography of to admit where I found it from, the Sheikh Al-Anjari, hafidhullah, that he's got a book, a biography of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he mentioned it in that book. He mentioned some of those references, and he mentioned that it's got a good chain of narration. And where the paper is, Allahu Akbar. That's what I remember. So that's the homework done then.
I see a scaled body in front of me, to some extent, and he was placing one in the plate, and Umar was placing the other plate, and he was heavier. Then Abu Bakr was placed one of the plate, Umar, and the man of Abu Bakr was heavier, and then Umar, and then Uthman.
The brother mentioned a longer wording of it. It's a statement of just in case someone thinks it's a hadith, it's a statement of Umar radiallahu anhu. Yeah? Statement of Umar. The brother's mentioning narration number 228 in the virtues of the companions by Imam Ahmad. Wallahu alam. What's the book I've got there? It's on the internet.
I saw him on the internet.
I missed my chance. I'm busy. Give it up on me now. Now, what was on the internet? Well, the whole Isnad as well. Somebody's brought the part of the Isnad from Ibn Shaldab, from Muhammad ibn Juhada, from Salama ibn Khalil, from Hazil, ibn Sharakhil, who said, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, said, if the iman of Abu Bakr was to be weighed, it would be greater than the iman of the people of the earth. That's the wording of al-Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman. So it's a statement of Umar radiallahu anhu. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.